And good morning to you. We are gathered here at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, and we are glad to see people in the auditorium today. Would you stand with me as we sing that great hymn, "And Can It Be?" And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me, who caused His pain, for me who Him to death pursued. Amazing, amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left His Father's throne above, so free, so infinite His grace, emptied Himself to show His love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for oh my God, it found out me. Amazing love, how can it be that God should die for me? No condemnation, no condemnation now I dread. Jesus, all in mine, Him is mine. Alive in my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Oh, how I miss congregational singing. It's so good to hear it this morning,
Pastor. All right, good morning all. Take your Bibles, if you will, this morning. Good to see more and more people getting out and about. And so take your Bibles. We're going to begin reading from Psalm chapter 104. Psalm chapter 104. Good to see some first-time visitors with us this morning. So good to see you. Good to have you. Good to see Josue and Marilini back today. How you feeling? When's your due date? July the 8th. All right, going to have a July baby. Just in time for the summer. Well, it's good to see more and more people out and about, and good to have Haley's mom and dad visiting with us once again. And I told them as they came into church, as I said in Sunday school, y'all just need to keep your Tennessee home is a vacation home, and just buy a house down here and move down here. So, and once again, he's not denying it. So I think we've got the wheels turning. All right, but good to have some first-time visitors with us today as well. Tom, they're a Kindred Spirit with you. They're from Wisconsin.
All right.
So they're Badgers fans. So yeah. So I'm sure y'all got a lot to talk about. All right. But it's good to see you this morning. Good to see some faces in church today. So we're going to look at verses 25. I've got a typo there, verse 37. I don't know about your Bible, but there's no 36 and 37 in Psalm 104. All right, so instead of hitting five, I hit seven instead. So please forgive me for that. But let's begin reading verse 25. There is the sea, great and broad, in which are swarms without number, animals both small and great. There are ships move along in Leviathan, which you have formed to sport in it. They all wait for you to give them their food in due season. You give to them, they gather it up. You open your hand, they are satisfied with good. You hide your face, they are dismayed. You take away their spirit, they expire and turn to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Let the glory of the Lord endure forever. Let the Lord be glad in his works. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. May that be our prayer. Amen. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Let my meditation be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together, maybe. Our Father God in heaven, we thank you this morning. We praise you that we can gather this morning. We thank you, Father, that more and more people have been able to get out and about and be able to feel safe and comfortable enough to come to church. We thank you, Father, that you have protected us. We thank you, Father, for those in our church that have been affected by the virus, that they have been healed and are doing well. No long-term effects, and we do thank you for that. We praise you for that. We praise you that when we got up this morning, that you're still on your throne, and you will never leave your throne. That you have always been, that you are now, and you will be for eternity. You will be the great and sovereign God that we acknowledge and that we serve. We thank you, we praise you this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ that died for our sin in order for us to receive eternal life. We thank you, we praise you, Father, for the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit that comes to live within our hearts at that very moment of salvation. We thank you and we praise you for that. We praise you for your word. We thank you that you have given us your word written so that we may read it, study it, meditate on it, learn about you, learn from you, be convicted by your word, but also comforted by your word. And Father, as in Sunday school this morning, there were so many mentioned in Sunday school that have had surgeries and getting ready to undergo surgeries, that are undergoing chemo treatments, radiation treatments, and other ailments, and in the bed of affliction. Father, we pray for every one of them that are on our weekly prayer sheet. We lift them before you. We pray for your healing power on each and every one of them. We pray for those recovering from surgeries, and also, Father, we pray for those that will be undergoing surgeries. We pray for our sister Noel Brewer as she is recovering from her hip replacement, and Father, we also pray for Jeff Hill as he will be undergoing surgeries, for some very serious surgery, and we pray for him and for his recovery afterward, and we also pray for Jody and her surgery on the 15th of June as well, and we lift her before you. And Father, as we also come before you as a believing people, Father, may you forgive us of our sin. May we can be very quick that when we do sin, that you are very quick to repent and confess of our sin. And Father, we thank you for the forgiveness of sin. And Father, also, Lord, we pray for our leaders. We pray for those that are still working very hard and diligently to come up with a cure to the virus. But also, Lord, we pray for our nation right now as undergoing all this turmoil with the riots and the protests and things of that nature. Father, we pray for our leaders. We pray for those law enforcement and first responders. We pray for your protection over your people and pray for your protection over our nation. And may we as a nation be very quick, Lord, now to repent, turn from our sin, and turn to you. And Father God, as we worship this morning, may you first and foremost, above all things, be worshiped and honored and glorified. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Well, this is the time where we usually turn around and shake hands, but we can't. So what are we going to do instead? Pastor Kim, what are we going to do?
We're going to sing a prayer song.
We're going to sing, all right?
May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day. Just a couple of verses. If you don't know it, hum along and you'll catch on. May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day. By his love and power controlling all I do and say. Good words, amen. Second verse. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power. Good prayer song, amen. We're going to continue our worship today with a song entitled Salvation's Song. Again, if it's a little unfamiliar, you'll catch on. Loud before the dawn of time, chosen by my Maker, hidden in my Savior, I am his and he is mine, cherished for eternity. When I'm stained with guilt and sin, hear his head to lift me, heal me and forgive me, give me strength to stand again, stronger than I was before, so that every breath that I'm forgiven, I will sing salvation song, and I'll join the chorus of creation, giving praise to Christ alone. All the burdens of the curse lifted through his offering, satisfied through suffering, all the blessing he deserves, poured on my unworthy soul. So with every breath that I'm forgiven, I will sing salvation song, and I'll join the chorus of creation, giving praise to Christ alone, singing glory and wisdom, power to the Lamb upon his throne. Repeat that. Singing glory, honor, wisdom, power to the Lamb upon his throne. Go ahead, Mike. Next slide. Got that next slide? Stars will fade and mountains fall. Christ will shine forever, love's unfading splendor. Earth and heaven will bow in all, joining in salvation song. We're going to join in salvation song both now and in the future. Thank you. Be seated.
All right, take your bulletins out. Mike, don't you just love it when something messes up on the slides and everybody looks at you?
That was me, that.
Mike, you're a great sport. You know that, buddy. Yeah. It's good to see Joyce and Richard back today. Good to have y'all back. And I thought they were bank robbers when they first walked in church this morning. They had the mask on. I said, Sunday school today, I said, right when he walked in, I went like this. But good to see you. Good to have Sister Glennis back with us today. So good to have you back. And I already mentioned Josue and Marilini. Good to have them back. Jeff, you've been out for a couple of weeks due to work. But good to have you back. And good to have the Massias back and the boys. Good to have them back with us today. And Sam, good to see you. Good to have you back as well. You're off today? Yeah? How's things going at the grocery store? Everything? I don't think it's... Is it considered a grocery store? It is. Okay. All right. Because y'all sell groceries and sell food, right? Okay. Well, I didn't know it being a health store, if health stores and Food Lion were different, you know. But it is considered a grocery store. All right. Sprouts. Is that the name of it? He works at Sprouts. So if you want to get some healthy food, go to Sprouts. That's edible. All right, I got two Chick-fil-A gift cards to give away, and this was not rigged, okay? But during a couple of times we were not able to meet, we did a Zoom checking in on one another, and we had each time we did a drawing. So what Sean did during the Zoom is we wrote everybody's name down on separate sheets of paper and put them into a hat, and I think 1 week you drew the name, or Noah drew the name, but both times Tom won. So I started to give him just one $10 Chick-fil-A card, but I thought, nah, that's not going to be nice, because I did promise two. So Tom enjoyed two Chick-fil-A meals on us.
Just not today, right?
Oh yeah, just not today. That's right. Yeah, just not today. All right. Let's go over a few announcements, and then we have a video to show this morning. And it's going to take just a few minutes to show this video. But we are very thankful that we are able to get back to worship. This is the third Sunday in a row that we're able to get back and able to have more and more people that are feeling more and more comfortable about getting out. And I'm very thankful, other than Marilini, that was affected by the virus, and they did have... both of them have family that live in New York, so both of their families are very heavily affected. I think you had an uncle to die from the virus, right? And now, Josue, were your parents affected by the virus? Both your parents and Marlene, your parents were affected? And then you had an uncle to pass away from the virus. They live in the city. And then Anthony had a spiritual mentor of his that lives in the city, basically his spiritual father that took the place of his earthly father, who was an absent father. This gentleman came into his life when he needed someone to take a step and just take a troubled young man or a troubled young youth and turn him into a man. And he passed away from the virus. But we're very thankful that our church as a whole has not been affected, that I was able to go to London and able to be with our missionaries there, and I came back healthy. So very thankful for that. But let's continue to pray for our leaders, continue to pray for those that are still affected in different parts of the country, and pray for their protection. So ladies, you have a social and craft party coming up on the 5th of June. That is a Friday night, correct? From 5 till 7 on that Friday night. So bring your own food. And what about drinks? Bring your own drink too?
Whatever you're going to eat or drink, you need to bring it.
Okay, so whatever you're going to eat or drink, you need to bring it. Okay? Pam is going to provide the craft. But we do need for you to sign up, though, at the Welcome Center table. So make sure you sign up. That way Pam will know how many supplies to get. Anything else?
There's going to be a game as well. Tommy's going to do a game.
Okay.
And a short devotion.
Okay. All right. Good deal. So So if you did not hear that, maybe you're watching or listening, there's going to be a short devotion, and also Sonia's going to do a game as well. So it's going to be a great time for you ladies. What's that?
This Friday night,
yes. And then the 21st is Father's Day, so we normally on holiday weekends, such as Father's Day, Mother's Day, Easter, Labor Day, Memorial Day, like last week, we do not have an evening Bible study on those days. And then also let me remind you, leaders, if you received an email from me or you received a text from me yesterday, at 4:30, Pastor Ken, myself, Aaron, and Chris, we're going to meet in the first Sunday school classroom there. We're going to discuss some financial issues. And then at 5 o'clock in here, those that are on the leadership team, we're going to meet. And pray for us, if you will, at 5 o'clock, if you can remember, at 4:30 and 5, as we're going to be discussing when do we open the nursery, when do we open Sunday school, when do we try to get back to some sort of regularity of children's ministries, of Awana in the fall, and all of those things. So we'll be discussing a lot of things tonight at 4:30 with the finances, and then at 5 o'clock with the rest of the leadership. While we're on the subject of finances, let me tell you this. We are healthy financially. So don't think that, okay, he's got to talk about financial issues. We must have some issues. We don't, okay? What we're going to be discussing is how do we go about paying back the PPP loan that we were able to qualify for, which we praise the Lord for that. But we'll be discussing where we are with that, how we go about paying that back, what stages do we take. So we'll be discussing those things as well. But this month of May has been our best month financially in many months. And that's because of the faithful giving of God's people. And you have stepped up. And I thank you and I praise you for the way that you have stepped up. So the Sunday that I was in London visiting with Justin and Rachel Rhodes, they had a baptism. And we are a missions-minded church. We support 7 missionaries at $100 a month. So when we take on missionaries, we don't take them at a token $10 a month like a lot of other churches do. Well, they'll have 200 missionaries and they support them at 10 bucks a month. Well, that's not even touching the tip of the iceberg. And I wish we could support more than $100 a month, and maybe we'll get to that point where we can. But we are a missions-minded church. And when I became pastor here in 2012, I told them right up front, I said, we are going to be a missions-minded church. We're going to give 10% of our budget to missionaries. And if you don't want that, you're asking for the wrong guy to come here. And so we support our missionaries. We support them with our finances. We support them with our prayers. But I was able to visit one of the first missionaries that we took of Justin and Rachel Rhodes, was with them for about 9 days. And the Sunday that I was there was a great Sunday of where they had a baptism. And so I asked Justin if he would to send me a video of the testimonies that they did. So I want you to see, and I've waited on showing this, just because you can see how our funds are being spent by them. All right, so Pastor Ken, if you will you show the video, please?
Hi, my name's Lainey, and before I decided to follow Jesus, my life was tumbling out of control. Sometimes I hit some very dark places, and I was lost. I was afraid and quite lonely. Life since I decided to follow Jesus is better in every respect. Every morning I get up, I am full of light and happiness and grateful and thankful, and I am God conscious, so I am able to correct myself and not be the same version of myself as I was before, where I might have been judgmental or negative or not seen my purpose in it. Now I feel that I am asking God for guidance in every decision I make. I'm praying on everything so that I can follow what He wants for me. Today I'm getting baptized as the first run on the ladder of Christian life. And to show that I am a part of the Christian family with my brothers and sisters and that I follow Jesus.
Hi, my name is Devontae. And life before Jesus, I think it was. I always thought I had Jesus before that anyway, so I never really considered it life before Jesus. I always just thought, like, I'm a Christian. I was born and raised in a Christian home. But then I started coming to this church and Tara started asking like some questions and that set me thinking kind of thing. And then every Friday, because my siblings, they're here for six or whatever. And like, so every Friday we're waiting for how long for the secondary thing. And Tara's just like, he's taking me and my sister and my brother and we're speaking. He's asking questions, letting us know certain things, teaching us reading from the Bible. And he set me thinking. And then he basically just, they come and he's like, the questions, do you want to give your life to Jesus? And I was like, yeah, that's how I'm gonna do it. I did it, and that was the best decision I've ever made, definitely. Life since Jesus has been, I've definitely found it happier, you know. I live in England, so not everything's gonna be sunshine and happy and roses and that. It's not all just gonna be great, and I find that when I'm feeling down or when I'm feeling a certain way, you know, I can just, even if I just sit and chill and that, I think, and Jesus definitely comes into my mind. I can feel like, I just feel happier.
Hi, my name is Tyrell, and life before Jesus, it was okay. I mean, I wasn't going through any troubles, any struggles and that, but at the end of the day, I didn't have Jesus. But life before Jesus, it wasn't bad, but it just wasn't great. It wasn't refreshing. I just kept on living. I kept on doing what I want to do. I didn't think about God. I didn't talk to God. I didn't have a relationship with God. I didn't read the Bible or anything. I just lived life like a normal kid, really. I decided to follow Jesus when I come to this church. I mean, I saw my brother and sister ask the Lord to forgive them. I saw it and I sat in and watched it a few times. And then when we went home, the next couple of weeks and that, they were just happier people. They were more positive and their lives were just, they were getting happier and they were doing more. I asked Christ to be to save me and to forgive me for all of my sins because I want that life too. And I saw how much it helped them and I needed that help. Today, I'm being baptized because it is the will of the Lord and it's the next step in my faith journey.
Hi, my name's Charlotte, and life before Jesus was, I think, confusing. I was kind of always searching for something to believe in, something to support me, and I was kind of lost looking for something and never really getting what I was looking for. I was confused, lonely, quite sad, and just low in myself and not really knowing why I was put on this earth and what I was here for. I decided to follow Jesus. It was a long journey for me after I started coming to the church about 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago, with my mum. And for a long time, I just kind of came because I felt like I needed to support her and be there with her. But I never really addressed where I fit with Jesus and with the church. I was kind of here more like to look in, just to stand on the edge and kind of not be completely a part of it. And I finally just had this feeling in my heart that I was done running and I was done turning my life away and just looking for something when the true meaning of what I was here for was for God and to live my life in God's light. And I think it was when I had that realization and those conversations with Tal and Justin and my mum and also a lot of the White family that I finally realized that what I was searching for to fill this hole and this brokenness that I felt was Jesus. It was just like this overwhelming thought that you can't run anymore. This is where you belong. Since Jesus, my life has been peaceful. I feel lighter and happier, and I know finally for the first time I have a sense of direction because I'm finally able to hand my life over to God and to follow his way. Today I'm getting baptized because I truly have turned towards Jesus and want to walk with him. So I want to make that physical representation to show that I believe, and as it says, believe and be baptized, and I am a believer.
Stand with me one more time. Just sing a couple of verses of Christ Alone. Wait. Get me out of the picture. I know you do. He's a juggler. Every promise we can make, every prayer and step of faith, every difference we will make, how? Is only by his grace. Every mountain we will climb, every ray of hope we shine, every blessing left behind, is only by his grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength alone he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. Think about the souls. Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, and everywhere we share his peace, is only by his grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise, is only by his grace. Sing it. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength alone he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth, how? In grace alone. All God's people said, amen. Be seated, take your Bibles.
All right, take your Bibles if you will. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Let me tell you something very interesting about those two brothers that were in the video. There was one Sunday that they could not get in touch with Justin. Justin, the church was able to purchase a van. Now, the vans in England are not like our vans. They only seat about 7 at the most. And how Justin was able to get that van in some place, some roads over there, is beyond me. You couldn't even get a bicycle down. And I'm not exaggerating. It was harrowing to say the least. But these boys live in a broken home. Dad is out of the picture. and they live, basically, they live in the low-income housing of that area of London. It's in the southeast area of London. And they do have a cell phone, but for some reason, they could not, Justin would go and pick them up, take them to church. But for some reason, on a Sunday, they could not reach Justin. I think it's because, the mother was not able to pay the cell phone bill. So they had no way to get hold of Justin to come pick him up for church. They walked 7 miles to church. They walked 7 miles. We complain when we have to drive 7 miles. Now let that sink in. I told Sean the other day, I said, one thing that I've learned in going to London and going to China, that Americans are spoiled because we sure do complain a lot. But here are these two boys walked to church 7 miles. And we complain when we can't go to church for 2 or 3 Sundays. We complain. May God help us. May God help us. So let's take our Bibles this morning. You know, that's our dollars at work when we give to missionaries like Justin Rhodes. He's doing him and that team, there's about 4 families that work as a team in this church, and they are doing a great job. I've been texting with Justin. I texted him yesterday. I said, hey, what's the situation with you guys? He said, well, as of now, it looks like we may not be able to gather until September at the earliest. So they're still live streaming from their homes. They cannot even get out of their home to do anything. So it's, we think we have it bad. Well, they've got it a whole lot worse. So let's really pray for them, if you will. So pray for Justin and Rachel Rhodes. Let's read verses 12 through 16, and I'm going to review for a moment from last week, because some of you were not here, and perhaps maybe you were not able to watch or listen. And then we're going to pray, and then we're going to get right into our text this morning. The verse 12 of Philippians chapter 3 says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on, so I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, let's go ahead and read verse 17 together. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. So let me review for just a moment from last week. Last week we looked at Philippians chapter 3, and we looked at verses 4 through 11, and we discussed how in the life of the believer, in order to win, you have to first of all lose. Now, what did we mean by that? By the expression, in the life of the believer, you have to lose to win. Well, we looked at verses 4 through 6, and we talked about how we must lose our self-righteousness. How we must lose our self-righteousness. The Apostle Paul said, if there's anyone that could have obtained eternal life through self-righteousness and through self-effort, it was me. He said that I was circumcised on the 8th day, and that is, he had the right birth. He said that I am of the stock of Israel, and that he had the right national heritage, that I was born of the tribe of Benjamin. He had the right tribe. And then he said that I could, if there's anybody that could achieve on self-effort, it is me. Because he was, after all, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was the Jew of the Jews. He had the right language and he was from the right culture. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the law. So he had the legalistic status. He was a persecutor of the persecutors. And that is that he had the right, he thought that he had the right zeal. And he was the purest of the pure. There was nothing about him that was blameless. He could never be accused of anything in his life that would be considered immoral. But then the second thing we talked about last week was we must lose in order to win Christ. Now what do we mean by that? We looked at it in verse 11. And that is that we must lose our past experience. He lost his past experience of his own righteousness in verse 7. He lost his past works and considered them to be wasteful in verse 8. He lost himself and what his life in Christ has in store for him in verse 9. He lost himself in seeking to know Christ in verse 10. And then in verse 11, he lost himself to seeking eternal resurrection from the dead. So I gave you two applications to think about. And that is, first of all, what is your testimony? Because in reality, what was the Apostle Paul sharing in those verses? He was sharing with us one of, if not the most powerful testimony, conversion, true conversion of turning from sin and turning to Christ. And as we saw, and as I talked to those four individuals, that we saw their testimony this morning, all four of them told me of how their life was before Christ. And you saw evidence of this morning of how their life was after Christ. And the first lady you saw there that is converted, her none of her children are Christian. But they came that morning to watch their mother get baptized. I talked to their children. She has one son who's a law enforcement officer there in London. Talked to him and just to learn more about them. The two brothers, their other siblings are not Christians, or his parents are not Christians. But the Apostle Paul is sharing his testimony. So let me ask you this, what is your testimony? So if someone was to ask you, what is your testimony? How did you come to Christ? What would you say? See, all four of them said in their testimony, this was my life before Christ. This is my life now after Christ, and this is why I'm getting baptized. Do you remember how lost you were in the depths of sin prior to becoming a Christian? Do you recall your moment of belief? And are you willing to lose everything in order to win Christ? See, the Apostle Paul is saying that all of his achievements prior to becoming a follower of Christ is nothing more than human trash or waste. He is now stating that his main goal in life is the knowledge of Christ, growing in his righteousness, knowing of the power found only in Christ, and having the fellowship in the sufferings of Christ and the resurrection found in Christ. So now let's pray. And you know, I was reminded about something the other day. We will never, ever be like this ever again. This group of people that are here right now at Lighthouse Baptist Church on 5911 Rockfish Road, we will never, ever be like this ever again. This message this morning will never be preached exactly like this ever again. Never. Now, it'll be on Facebook. It'll be on Sermon Audio as long as we have those means. But We will never ever gather like this ever again. So let me remind you that this is a once in a lifetime opportunity right now for us to allow the Holy Spirit of God to use this text this morning to work inside of our hearts and minds. So let's pray for that this morning before we get into the text. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for those missionaries such as Justin Rhodes that left the comforts of America and is now in London and met Rachel and married and now has a child and is now pursuing citizenship, dual citizenship in England so that he could reach more and more people with the gospel. We thank you for those four that we heard their testimonies this morning and how it blessed my soul to be there to witness in person those four people following the command to be scripturally baptized. But Father God, we in America live in such comfort and spoiled, take everything for granted. And Father, we just assume that everything is going to be okay in our lives because of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But Father, there are so many, maybe even here this morning, that are in turmoil, worry, affliction. But Father God, I pray that you would use this time that we are here this morning as a means to convict us, to comfort us, and to help us to grow in our walk, in our sanctification. We do thank you and we do praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray, amen. So now let's look at these verses this morning, verses 12 through 16, and we're going to read them all at once, but then we'll be going back, and we'll be going back verse by verse this morning. Okay, we already read it, so let's look at verse 12, where it says, "Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on, so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus." Now, as we read through the letters of the Apostle Paul, we can conclude, I believe, now all of you know me, that I am somewhat of a sports nut. Well, let me take that word somewhat out. I am a sports nut. Complete, yes, through and through, 100%. Okay? Believe this or not, this is true. Sean can attest to this. I watched Korean baseball. Now, it was boring. Okay? It was rather uneventful, but I watched it. Why? I wanted some sort of live sports in my life. So I think that as we read the letters of the Apostle Paul, we can kind of come to a conclusion that the Apostle Paul was some sort of a sports nut, because he refers to sports and the analogy of sports a lot in his writings. Okay, so let me give you some examples. First thing is this. He used a boxing analogy of how to be effective in the Christian life, because in 1 Corinthians 9:26, he said, "Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim, I box in such a way as not beating the air." He also talked about the Christian life of being a struggle. He said in Ephesians 6:12, he said, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." He also talked about the Christian life is a race. Not a dash, but a race. We could conclude it that it is like a marathon. Where he said that, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." And then he talked about a triumphant faith, or in his letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. So one might think that in reading the letters of the Apostle Paul, after all, he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. He became the prominent of the apostles. He even had to confront one to his face because of inconsistency in his life of Peter. He traveled the known world on various missionary journeys and started churches. You would think that he had spiritually arrived. But nothing could be further from the truth. Paul still struggled. He still struggled with his flesh. He still struggled with growing in his sanctification. In Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, he talks about his struggle. He says, the things that I know I should be doing, I'm not doing them. And the things I know I should not be doing, I'm still doing them. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Now, let me ask you this question. When is the last time you referred to yourself as a wretched human being? I have only, in my all of my years of ministry, I have only had one person refer to themselves as a wretch, and that was Kent Shepherd. When I heard about his testimony, and before he became a member of the church that I was on staff at that time, I asked him, I said, how was your life before Christian? He simply said this, I was a wretched man. I was a wretch. That's the only person I've ever heard of say that I was a wretch. The Apostle Paul tell about himself. Oh, wretched man that I am. But sadly, there is a very popular false doctrine that is going around, has been going around for centuries, that teaches a false doctrine of sinless perfection. There's the Church of God out of Cleveland, Tennessee. There is the International Pentecostal Holiness, the United Holy Church of America, and the Quaker movement all believe that You can reach a certain stage of your Christian life of where you no longer sin. Now, this is how they try to justify it. They say, yeah, but it wasn't really a sin. It was a mistake. Well, the last time I read God's word, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When I read Romans 7, I don't read that the Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, I continue to make mistakes. He said, oh, wretched man I am, who shall deliver me from this body? I still sin. R.C. Sproul said it like this. He said, I spoke once with a woman who claimed the same second blessing. That's what they call it. They call it a second blessing. How many of you ever heard that term, a second blessing among the Pentecostals? She said, I received a second blessing of perfectionism, who qualified her claim. She said that she was fully sanctified into holiness, so she never committed any willful sins. But she acknowledged that occasionally she still committed sins, though never willfully. Her present sins were unwillful. Well, this is what Sproul told her. He said, what in the world is an unwillful sin? All sin involves the exercise of the will. If an action happens apart from the will, it is not a moral action. The involuntary beating of my heart is not a moral action. All sin is willful. Indeed, the corrupt inclination of the will is the very essence of sin. There is no sin without the willing of sin. The woman was excusing her own sin by denying that she had willed to commit the sin. The sin just sort of happened. It was the oldest self-justification known to man, and that justification is this: I did not mean to do it. So we will never, on this side of eternity, we will never ever reach spiritual perfection. Now, why is that? Sin. We all sin. And every sin that we commit is willful sin. So let me give you some requirements this morning. So we're going to look this morning about the requirements of the pursuit of the prize. I'm a long-distance runner. I run in marathons. I run in half marathons. I am beginning to train now for my third full marathon to be run in October. Now, there are some requirements that I have to meet in order to get in it. Number one is I have to pay a registration fee. And it is not cheap. I have to have the right shoes, the right clothing. I have to pay to get there. There are requirements. I have to be trained. I have to train. I have to run certain miles. I just can't pay a registration fee and then show up in tennis shoes and a pair of shorts and a t-shirt and say, hey, I'm here to run. I'm going to last, I might last 1 mile. Okay? There are requirements, okay? There are requirements in the life of the believer in order for us to run the race, to get the prize. Number one, the pursuing believer must have the proper alertness. We must have the proper alertness. Let's look at the very beginning of verse 12. It says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. So as a believer in the finished work of Christ, we must remember these things. Every believer is in the body of Christ. Every believer is in the body of Christ. We will enjoy what God has promised to every believer in heaven for eternity. Peter talked about this. He said that to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We must remember, though, that even though eternity cannot be improved upon, we cannot improve heaven. Look, heaven is not going to get any better just because we're there. Heaven is already perfect. Why? Because God is in heaven. So it's already perfect. Just because we're going there, it's not going to make it any more better. It is already perfect. But while here on this earth, we must be always pursuing holiness. We will never, ever, this side of eternity, be completely holy, sinless. We will always sin, but we must always be pursuing holiness. Now, I want you to look at the first two words of that verse. It says, not that. Now, what did he mean by those two words? He had not what? Well, he had not obtained or acquired the prize he was pursuing. He had not become perfect or attained perfection or reached the goal. And the Apostle Paul knew that he was not perfect. As we just alluded to Romans chapter 7, he still had not arrived. He was still pursuing spiritual growth. He was still pursuing spiritual maturation or to grow as a follower of Christ. Now, how do we know that? Because he was still praying. He was still studying God's word. He told Timothy at the end of 2 Timothy, he said, bring me the cloak and the scrolls. What were the scrolls? Old Testament writings. Bring them to me so that I can continue to study. He was still confessing sin. He was greatly looking forward to that day of Christ, as he talked about in Philippians 3:21. So a pursuing believer must always be aware of the dissatisfaction of our own spiritual condition. If you are satisfied with your spiritual growth, you've got issues. We must always look at ourselves as a wretch in need of God's grace, in need of God's mercy, and daily repent to believe the gospel. We must always be alert, aware of our spiritual weakness, and be pursuing holiness, pursuing Christ's likeness, pursuing godliness. Requirement number two, that's the last part of verse 12. where it says, I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. So we must always put out our maximum endeavor. Okay? Look at those two words. Press on. Press on. Okay? It comes from a military term. Also from an athletic term. And that is, you press on until you achieve victory. You press on until you get to the goal line. Now, what is the goal line for the Christian? The goal line for the Christian. Now, you're already born again, hopefully, prayerfully. You're already born again. But what is our prize? Our goal should be to pursue Christ-likeness. Be pursuing holiness. Pursuing to grow in our spiritual walk and to grow in our spiritual sanctification, to be more like Christ, to look more like Christ, to act more like Christ. We must always be pressing on. So what does it mean to be pressing on for the prize? Well, the first thing is this: we must be totally dependent upon God's power working in our life. When's the last time that your battery died in your car and you were able to drive it with your battery dead? Or, let's say that little red light that comes on when it says 50 miles to empty. You think, okay, I still got 50 miles. I can make it. I see husbands looking at their wives. Okay? And then it gets down to 30. Gets down to 10. I see some wives looking at husbands. And then finally, it stops. Well, it said I still had 10 more miles. Well, that 10 miles is not very accurate, is it? What happened? Ran out of gas. Your battery's dead. Well, guess what, folks? When we don't submit ourselves dependent upon God and dependent upon the Holy Spirit's power in our lives, we can't go any further. We might go for a little while, but you are doomed to fail. And we must remember that the Christian life is always about labor. It's all about striving. It's all about fighting the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you make good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And then thirdly, we must remember that the Christian life will be full of suffering, trials, tribulations. And then there's requirement number three. I'm going to go through the last three here very quickly, so don't worry. It's only 4 minutes after 12. You're going to make it, okay? I promise. Requirement number three. The pursuing believer must be totally focused on the goal. You have to be focused. Okay, I recently watched a documentary about Nick Saban, the football coach at Alabama. Won 6 national championships at Alabama. Well, he's won 5 at Alabama. He won 1 at LSU. I'd say he's got a pretty good track record, wouldn't you? And this is what he tells before every game. At the very beginning of practice, when they get together, he always says this: get your mind right. Get your mind right. And I was watching this, SpaceX launch yesterday. I remember as a kid, I remember the Apollo spaceships going off. I remember watching in school. I remember watching all of those events and learning about them in science class. Learning all of that stuff. And I remember watching a speech by President Kennedy when he challenged to go to the moon. He said, we're not going to go to the moon because it's easy. We're going to go because it's hard. You want to know why many people, after becoming a Christian, quit after a while? Because the Christian life is hard. It's not easy. It's hard. And the preacher that stands behind a pulpit and says that the Christian life is easy, that when you become a Christian, everything is going to be great for you, is selling you a false bill of goods and snake oil. You need to run away from them because they are spreading a false gospel. Notice something here. In verse 13, he says, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. I'm not there. He said, let me paraphrase it. I am not there yet. I haven't arrived yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. There are three phrases here. Three phrases. He says, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it, the prize, yet. And then there's another phrase. He says, but one thing I do. Third phrase, I am forgetting what lies behind and I'm reaching forward to what lies ahead. You know, Jesus Christ used an illustration when talking about the Christian life the same way. He used the analogy, illustration of a farmer as he's plowing. It's saying the farmer that plows, if he's constantly looking behind him, what's going to happen to that row? He's going to go off track. It's going to be crooked. It's going to be messed up. He's saying that farmer, though, that is constantly keeping his eyes forward. Not looking back, but looking forward. There's a lot of Christians that are like that elephant that has that chain. And when that chain is taken off, they still think in their mind that they are hooked to the chain of past sin, past failures. Yes, they've confessed. Yes, they've repented. But they allow Satan to keep bringing those things back into their mind. Forget those things which are behind. Press forward. Are there lessons that we need to learn from? Yeah, so that we won't do them again. Learn those lessons and move forward. Requirement number four, we need to be totally excited about the prize. Totally excited. When I run a marathon or a half marathon, guess what I get excited about? Well, finishing, yeah. Yeah. This is what keeps me going through the whole race. Now, they talk about the wall. And it's usually about mile 14 or 15. Tom's, you ran one, right? You ran two? Anybody else in here run a marathon? Okay, you ran? How many of you ran, Anthony? Oh, you've ran a half. Okay. You ran one, full? Anybody else in here? Now, guys, your military run, it doesn't count, okay? PT doesn't count, all right? I know PT is PT, but not like running a marathon, all right? Because what, it's 13.1, 24.2, all right? There, I can add, all right? Now, most people, when they get, 26.2, yeah, there we go. I can't add. Let me get my calculator. Yeah, 26.2. Now, the wall for me is like mile two. But to be honest with you, it's about mile 18. And when you get to mile 18, you are done. I mean, you're like, I cannot go any further. I'll tell you what gets me going. It is getting to the finish line and getting that medal. Now, the medal may cost 50 cents to make. Now, the first one I ran in Raleigh, and I was literally the last person to cross the line. They had these blow-up things over the finish line, and they were beginning to deflate them when I ran across the line. But I still got that medal, and I got a t-shirt. Okay? For $150, I got a medal and a t-shirt and blisters on my feet. But I got that prize. You pursue it. And see, that's how we can compare the Christian life. It's not a sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. It's a constant struggle. There are miles in the marathon where you'll feel, hey, this is good. I'm making it. But then you'll get to that wall and you'll say, man, I can't go any further. But what gets us going? It's the prize at the end. It's that standing before God and Jesus Christ saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then there's number five, we must have the proper attitude. We must have the proper attitude. Therefore, let us, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. Have this attitude. You know, most everything about life is all about your attitude. It's attitude. How do you respond when things just don't go your way? When things just don't, what you expect just don't, you know, most things that you expect just don't turn out that way. Right? It just don't. Why? Because that's life. Life is full of disappointments. But what do you do when you're disappointed? You either have a bad attitude or you have a good attitude. The Apostle Paul is saying that we need to have this attitude. What is it? And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. That when God in his sovereignty allows negative things to come into your life, you need to look to God because he might be trying to teach you a lesson. Might be trying to teach you something. And then the last one, we must be obedient. We must be obedient. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Same standard. So we must put into practice what we have heard and learned. And how do we do that? Let me give you three things. You can write them down. I don't think I've got these on the handout. We have to desire God's word in our lives. Okay, that is one very good indicator that you are a believer, and that is you have a desire for God's word in your life. Secondly, you have to pray. You have to pray. Thirdly, we have to follow a godly example. And then fourthly, use the trials that God allows us to go through to mold us, to shape us into his image. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. He said, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. May we, as a believing people, continue to strive and pursue holiness, to grow in our spiritual walk, and to grow in our sanctification. Let's pray together, may we? Our Father, as we finish up looking at this text this morning, we thank you, Father, for the prize of eternal life and for the glory of heaven. We thank you for eternal life. We thank you for your word. And Father God, I pray that this morning we was first and foremost always honor and glory to you, but also, Father, as a help and encouragement to all of us, of that daily, we must always be pursuing the prize of holiness and sanctification and godliness and Christ-likeness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand together. Pastor Ken is going to lead us in our dismissal hymn. And this is going to be the first time in a number of weeks that my wife and I have been able to stand at the door. We won't shake your hand, but we'll wave. All right. And for first-time visitors, thank you once again for visiting with us this morning. My wife and I would like to talk to you for just a few moments, if you have time, after the service. But thank you for being here. Good to see so many people getting back to being here. So, Pastor Ken, if you will, lead us in, and then dismiss us in prayer, if you will, please.
Let's just sing one verse of this, I Need Thee Every Hour. If we're going to accomplish what Pastor preached today, we're going to need the Lord. Amen.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee.
Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we admit this morning, we need You. If we're going to accomplish these six things that Pastor brought out from Philippians today, we're going to need You, not just daily, but every hour, every moment of every hour. And we acknowledge that as a church family today. And we thank You for the chance to gather and hear good preaching and teaching and worship together. We thank You for all those that took part today. And we pray that You bring us back for the leadership meetings and then the 6 o'clock service, ready to learn some more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.